Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
We have baseball in Houston! Woo!
You're very excited.
I'm very excited. I am Vanessa Richardson. That's Paul Gallant. Our producer is Sean Mapes.
Thanks you going for to the game tonight?
Roland, I am.
You are?
I am.
All right.
Yeah, I'm excited. Got a little sweet ticket action.
Whoa. Hell yeah, but I mean, yeah. Like, where's my invite? Just telling me about it right now.
I'm very excited. I think it's going to be a great game. I have actually never lived in Houston while there's been a full baseball. Now, I say full. Technically, we're missing a couple of games because of the lockout. But I got here in August of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, was able to see that World Series against the Nationals. The next year was the COVID year. No fans. Very strange. 2021, last year. This is Texas. It was pretty close to normal, but still that first month and a half, if you remember, it was like 50% capacity. So I'm excited to have a full season of Minute Maid Park just absolutely rocking.
How many games have you been to as a fan? Because obviously you've been to a ton on the job.
It's a great question. As a fan, I think I've been to probably 2 games a year. Well, known in 20, I covered in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So, and none as a fan. I've probably been to 3 games as a fan.
It's been a while.
And
for
I don't
me.
Drink when I'm on the job.
Yeah.
At all. Like, and I say that people will be like, duh. No, there are some media members who will take their media credential and go drink.
Yeah.
I don't at all. Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to at you, but.
I got in trouble for that at a Rockets game once.
Did you? You yeah. drank when you had a media credential?
Well, I didn't know that was a problem.
Are you joking?
No, I'm not.
You went to Syracuse. That's like J School 101. You don't drink when you have a media credential.
The media row is right next to the bar. It's literally right there.
So you were there with a media credential and you went to the bar and drank.
I didn't. I was sitting at a little spot and I got spoken to and lesson learned. But I did not want to, at halftime, walk 20 minutes to go downstairs to get a bottle of water. And I figured, well, I'm not going to buy a bottle of water at the bar. I'm going to buy a drink. So I bought myself a drink, and I was told to finish it. So I stepped around the corner, chugged, sat right back down.
I can't believe you didn't know that.
I mean, I don't get why
Syracuse,
it's a problem. Why is it a problem?
One of the best journalism schools in the country does
second.
Not teach their kids and their students that you cannot drink when you have a media credential.
Well, I'm a rebel, and I don't care. But I learned my lesson.
Good
I will not
for
do
you.
That. I will not do that again.
Teaching moment. That being said, I have never drank when I've had a media credential.
I don't get
Let
why
the
that's a problem.
Show.
I don't get why that's a problem
because
at all.
Because you're covering a game, and you're there
so?
As a media member.
Oh, wow. So
Now, if you're off the job, and you remove your media credential, and you're no longer covering the game, maybe that's different.
I guess, look, to me, I look at it from this perspective. It doesn't affect my ability to do my job. I'm watching the game, tweeting about it, asking questions afterwards. If you have one drink, like, what's that going to do?
I agree with you, but I guess you're coming at it from more of a radio perspective.
I don't know what perspective I'm coming at it from. I just don't get why that's an issue at all. I don't get it.
I'm stunned. I am shocked. #ethics.
You're not
ethics.
Shocked.
Thank you
for being polite and acting like you are, but you're not shocked.
Anyway, that being said, I've only been to probably 3 games as an Astros fan.
Okay.
So that means that I have never really sat back and drank and enjoyed an Astros game. So I'm very excited for that.
Yeah, that'll be fun. The last time I went as a fan, I think it was game 6 of the 2017 ALCS. I think that was the last time I went, and it was fun. They won that one. I think they won that one 4-0. I forget what the final score was, but it was close for a while. I was sitting somewhere in the outfield, and I was just the whole night like going up to any Yankee fan I could find and say, "Not tonight, not tonight." And it was very annoying, I'm sure, at a certain point.
Should be fun. Simone Biles is going to be doing play ball. We're going to have Houston native singing the national anthem that we're on The Voice. Should be a really, really good time. What has not been a good time? The Astros hitting.
Nice transition.
Only 9 games in. And you and I kind of differ on this. I ain't worried about it. I think it's 9 games in. I think Altuve and Tucker will find their groove. I think they're going to be fine. I think the fact that they started 9 games on the road due to the lockout. You're a little more worried about the Astros hitting.
It's mostly because there are too many people that are casually explaining it away. This is the best lineup in baseball. I get it. They haven't been 100% since the start of the year, since the actual season opener against Anaheim. And that Jordan's been missing the last couple of games, and that some of these players are slow starters, and their spring training that didn't go the way spring training was supposed to, and the season started a little bit later, and they've been on the road for all this time. But I'm sorry, like, why are we making so many excuses for the Astros? This is the best team in baseball. We have set a standard because they earned that standard, and we should hold them to that standard.
But
and
there are slumps. There are slumps in the middle of the season.
No doubt.
There are slumps towards the end, so maybe they're just having a slump at the beginning.
But I mean, can we not call them out for the slump? I feel like you can call them out. And, I mean, to me, right now, I wonder, are they all going to be able to pull out of it? Bregman, I trust. Altuve, I wonder about. I would say with Kyle Tucker, with Jordan Alvarez, I expect them to be good. But the guys who are a little bit older, how is this going to go over the entirety of the year? Yes, they're slow starters. Yes, I am 100% overreacting. I know it. All I'm saying is the amount of excuses that I have seen online and the casual indifference to it, it turns me off. It is a long baseball season. I get that 100%. But, I mean, they're hitting poorly. And with the pitching that they have gotten thus far, they should have 7 wins, 8 wins, because the pitching's been really good for the most part. Outside of the game against the Mariners on Friday where they lost 11-1, like the pitching, I felt like it's been enough. The offense just hasn't been there.
Jose Altuve, of course, as you said, struggling. There's a lot of guys on that roster that maybe aren't hitting the way that they want to, but we'll see if being home helps. Alex Bregman thinks being home will help these guys as they begin their homestand.
Obviously, we would all love to get off to a fast start, but, you know, it's a long season. And that's why you play 162 games, and I'm confident this team will be very, very, very good offensively this year.
I'm pretty confident in that, too. The only reason that I have any concern at all right now is because I just don't like that a lot, including Dusty Baker. I would say the Astros players, for the most part, they've all been like, hey, look, these things happen. We will get this thing figured out. But guys have come up with pretty good approaches to us. We need to adapt. We need to counter it. But, you know, right now, I mean, Jeremy Peña, who is swinging at, like, everything.
Peña looks great.
He's been great, but there will be an adjustment, and he will have a comeback to earth. You know, that's how it works. And Peña's been, honestly, like one of your best hitters thus far. Jose Siri's been doing well.
Carlos Correa, who?
Yeah.
That was a joke, guys.
Yeah, Carlos Correa's off to a rough start in Minnesota.
Is.
133, he's hitting thus far.
I will say this.
I will say this.
I think in a couple of years, people will no longer be mad at Crane and help me, James Click.
I don't know.
I don't think they... I'm not saying Carlos is past his prime. I'm just saying when you look at the fact that he wanted a decade deal... And what he wanted to be paid.
He did at one point, but I mean, it was 1 year for $30 million, essentially. And they're like, no, we just don't want to play games that way. Like, why not? Like, clearly, he was delaying the inevitable departure. Did you need to put Peña in the everyday lineup that bad? I don't know. I mean, Peña's off to a good start, and give him a lot of credit. There's a lot of pressure on him to start this season off, especially with Correa signing with Minnesota so late in the ballgame, where you thought, like, until pretty much the last second.
It was one of the most random. It was up there with J.J. Watt picking the Arizona Cardinals where I was like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. But at least like with that, you knew Watt was gone. With Correa, I think we were all like,
there was a chance.
We haven't heard anything, so he's definitely going to be back. And then obviously that didn't take place.
Meanwhile, Paul Gallant had a little love triangle this weekend as the Astros took on his second team, his side chick, the Seattle Mariners. How'd that go for you? Mixed feelings, conflicted feelings? Are you going to leave the wife for the mistress? How's it going?
I mean, look, it's more I'm embarrassed by the Astros and how they embarrassed me in front of my Seattle friends. Like, that's legitimately the biggest thing here. I do think that the Seattle team has a lot of potential, and we saw some of it because, you know, some of their young bats that have just come up to the majors, Julio Rodriguez, Jared Kelnick, they're not hitting well, but the other guys that they brought in, a team that Robert Flores talked about with us in the last hour that was winning a ton of one-run games last year, and I remember watching it, I was like, how the hell do they keep winning? Because their pitching was never great, but this year their pitching is better too. So they're seriously improved, and to me it's okay. Like, hey, look, they're a threat. So I don't think the Astros were dismissing them going into this year, but I hope for certain now that they're looking at Seattle and like they're thinking to themselves, this is our number one competition. in the American League West, because I buy into that. Oakland's off to a nice start. I don't buy into them.
Are you going
to
do the half jersey?
No, I'm not. I'm not.
That's awful.
I mean, here is the real question. Because if I have to pick, like, if there's a gun to my head, I'm picking the Astros every single time. There's a part of me that wonders, okay, well, the Mariners seem like they're about to take flight for a couple of years, and did I miss out on maybe being on the ground floor of
this
something?
This really is like your relationship.
What's weird?
Metaphor.
It's and I want what I can't have all the time.
We know.
But the thing that I'm looking at with this is going forward. Is this Astros team, are they going to be able to last a couple more years? Seattle's going to, I think, next year, even like be probably the favorites to win the AL West. And I would think the Astros will be really good that next season too. But next year is where I wonder, okay, like, are you essentially walking around cockily saying the playoffs don't begin till the American League Championship Series? We know we'll be there. Who else will be there? This year, I still feel that way. I want to feel that way forever. And, yeah. The thing I'm trying to determine right now is, would it be rude of me to wear an Astros thing into the Mariners ballpark when I return? Because I'm going to go to a series up in Seattle this summer.
Oh, okay.
I'm either going to wear nothing and just be a neutral observer, or I'm going to wear an Astros shirt.
When you're...
At the
but
Mariners
if you
game.
Like the Mariners and the Astros, wouldn't you wear Mariners stuff in Seattle
no,
and Astros
I'm not.
Stuff here?
No, no, no.
What?
No. Look, if I had to pick between the two, I'm picking the Astros.
Tell me that doesn't make sense.
I'm having a hard time piece togethering this. So you're ashamed to be out in public with the Mariners.
It's the mistress.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
But you like...
But if you were to go to Minute Maid... You know, it was Seattle versus Houston in Minute Maid.
No,
you'll be decked out in Space City gear.
I would never. Well, not the Space City, but I would never wear the Seattle stuff to, first off, Minute Maid Park. Second, I will never wear the Seattle stuff while the Astros are playing the Mariners.
But what if the Mariners?
But vice versa is what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, but in Houston, would you wear the Astros stuff?
Yes. Oh yeah.
Okay. So when you're in Seattle, if they're playing the Blue Jays, would you wear Mariners stuff?
If they're playing the Blue Jays, yes. But I mean, if they're playing the Astros in Seattle, because I'm going
okay,
to
so
a
there's
game
a clear hierarchy.
Yes,
okay.
There's a hierarchy here.
Yep.
So if I go to the game in Seattle this summer, I'm trying to determine whether or not I'm going to wear cowboy boots and an Astros jersey, which I've thought is probably the move, or am I going to go into the game wearing just neutral colors? Because that way I'd be polite to my...
mistress.
Yes.
While honoring your wife.
Correct.
All right. You know what? We want you guys' opinion. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, text us, Twitch us, tweet us. Please,
King of Twitch says just wear all black with an umbrella.
Please let us know what Paul should do when he's torn between two lovers. Plus, talking about Baker Mayfield, some rumors of where he could end up. That's next.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun. ESPN 97.5. Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we're rolling along on a Monday. We're getting a lot of comments, more so, Paul, on... what you said your choice of outfit would be, cowboy boots, Astros jersey, and cut-off jean shorts?
Well, I'm not going to do the cut-off jean
shorts. Oh, you
didn't
say that. Okay.
No. That's someone's imagination at play. That might be the weird Twitch commenter on my Twitch show that says I should start an OnlyFans.
Oh.
Actually happened. I'm not kidding.
Have you considered it?
No. Who's going to pay for a guy OnlyFans? I'm sorry.
I mean, I'm not saying that wasn't I will. That's,
Burly. Only that's, Burly fans.
Yeah, you get me a nice little lumberjack with a beard.
Anyway, sports, they're a thing.
Sports. All right, Baker Mayfield still does not have a landing spot. Technically, he is on the Cleveland Browns roster. It is presumed that he will be moved to another team after the Browns brought in Jacoby Brissett, right? Like, they have... Was it they? They brought in Deshaun Watson, obviously, but then they also brought in a backup.
Yeah, they did bring in Jacoby Brissett to essentially play. It's in, probably if Deshaun Watson gets suspended, it's going to be Brissett. I don't know how you can put Mayfield back under center with the way that this offseason has gone.
So it's kind of presumed that he is out the door.
Correct.
He said on a podcast that was released last week that he thought that he would have been traded to Indy. Indy newsflash didn't want him.
Right.
And then he said he thought that Seattle and Carolina were possibilities.
Correct.
According to Ian Rapoport of NFL Network, Seattle really isn't even thinking about Baker, and Carolina is a landing spot. He also said, Ian Rapoport also said, Baker being a backup for Tampa Bay is a possibility as well. But we know one thing. This is a bold move, but one of the top wide receivers for the Panthers does not want him.
Robbie Anderson.
Panthers Way on Instagram, which is a site for rumors, reports of Panthers.
I hate those Instagram accounts.
I do too, but this.
Here's a graphic with a quote. I'm a reporter. Like, shut up. But this is. I hate them because they all have more followers than me. Like,
it's all the jealousy, green, petty social narrative.
Media, Paul. He hates everyone else because he is not as good as them.
Panthers Way on Instagram posted what Rapoport said about the fact that Baker could land in Carolina, and Robbie Anderson, wide receiver, comments, no. The same Instagram account posted another picture saying Anderson doesn't want Mayfield, and Anderson again commented on it and said, facts. So he not only said the first thing, he doubled down. This is bold for obviously a lot of different reasons, because let's say this does happen. This isn't like a third string defensive player. This is like somebody that would be catching passes from Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, he actually tripled down because on Twitter he said, I ain't with all that faking bleep. I rather keep it real. And I don't know that this is an episode of When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong. Honestly, yeah. If you are a wide receiver for the Panthers and you don't want Baker Mayfield on your team, then you should do this. Why not flex? Like, your coach doesn't have a whole lot of power, Matt Rhule. And the only reason that you would bring in a veteran starter like this is if you feel like you have a future with Matt Rhule. You don't. They should have just fired him as it is. They really thought that he was going to be able to make things work offensively, but they bought in hook, line, and sinker to Sam Darnold. And Sam Darnold was a huge mistake. We knew that was going to come. I think this is why Robbie Anderson more so is against the idea of Baker Mayfield, though, because he played with Sam Darnold with the Jets and is now playing with him again with the Carolina Panthers. So I think this might be more out of loyalty to Sam Darnold, which I can respect. But I think that the Panthers should listen to Robbie Anderson, because this doesn't make any sense for Carolina. I don't see how this benefits them in any way, shape, or form. That's not a good football team. They need to press the reset button entirely, and they need to go get an actual young quarterback with upside as opposed to just trying to see what they can get with Baker Mayfield for 1 year. Like, what's the point? I don't see a victory for Carolina moving and trying to get someone like this, especially when no one is coming to his defense with all the criticism
that
we've seen against
him. The owner, obviously, of the Panthers, the richest owner in the NFL, proof that money cannot always buy you a Super Bowl, and it can't even buy you a playoff win. But the fact that nobody has stood up for Baker Mayfield, I think, says everything. Because usually when there are rumors, when there are, you know, people that are unsettled, you have players that come out, whether it's on social media, whether it's in an ESPN interview or a podcast, that say, hey, Baker's my guy, Baker's a great guy. You haven't heard it.
No, not
even
at all.
I will say this. Even Carson Wentz, I think the Colts made the right move by getting rid of him. But there were a couple Colts players that were like, guys, Carson Wentz wasn't as bad as you said he was. Calm down. There were a lot of those guys. I have seen nobody do that with Baker.
And it's strange because, to me, I look at Baker Mayfield and I see a tough player. And I feel like someone who does hold himself accountable. But there's this... I don't know how to describe it, because it feels like a lot of athletes in sports have this same trait. There's a sensitivity to him that maybe he believes can unlock the best of him, where he feels like he can motivate himself based off of someone talking trash about
like
him.
Like haters are motivators.
Right. But yeah. I don't think it's actually, you know, making him turn into the equivalent of like a Super Saiyan in Dragon Ball Z, where essentially the premise of this anime show, Vanessa, is that like they would get super mad and then all of a sudden they're like they could kill anything. That's essentially, I think, what he believes this stuff does for him, and I think instead it's really just a distraction.
Yeah, he seems like the kind of guy that thinks that he can amp himself up. He's like the opposite of when you have quarterbacks like Matt Ryan, who was like, Bummer that it ended in Atlanta, but I knew where I wanted to go. Thank you, Atlanta, for a great couple of years. Like, there are guys that just do things a certain way, and then there's Baker Mayfield, who kind of seems to be complaining until he gets moved out of town. I do agree that he was disrespected in certain things that were said, certain reports that were out there. We've talked about Deshaun Watson being called, quote, they want an adult in the room. And how quickly this league is a what have you done for me lately? Because Baker helped that team with their first playoff win in like 30 years.
The more I think about it, I do wonder if the person that said we want an adult in the room was a teammate. I mean, it does seem like it most likely.
It was a Mort report.
If Chris Mortensen's reporting it, that it came from like Jimmy Haslam or something like that. Because I don't know how connected Chris Mortensen is to a locker room these days, especially, you know, 2 years into a pandemic where you're not allowing guys in the same way that you used to at one point. Like, I'm assuming that came from the top, but there's a part of me that wonders now, were there players that felt this way?
Yeah, could be. I think that it'll be interesting to see what happens. It seems like Carolina is a likely landing spot for him. If Ian Rapoport says Seattle isn't interested, things can change, but I trust what Ian Rapoport says.
Who would you rather have? Because I saw another report yesterday, Vanessa, that the 49ers have essentially already told Trey Lance that he's going to be their starting quarterback next year, which, considering Jimmy Garoppolo was their quarterback, and obviously has some limitations, but did get them to the NFC Championship game, did get them to a Super Bowl. Who would you rather have if you're a team and you need to have one of those two veteran quarterbacks, Jimmy Garoppolo or Baker Mayfield?
I say Jimmy Garoppolo, but the thing is that Baker will play through injuries and tough it out.
And Jimmy doesn't. But everyone likes Jimmy in the locker room. Like, how many of his teammates stand up for him?
Jimmy's
so
a
weird,
handsome, polite kid. Jimmy has his life together on a much more consistent basis,
I guess. I mean,
but yeah, I mean, I go with Jimmy, but not by a long, not by a lot.
If I have to pick between the two, I'm probably picking Baker. Like, I feel like Baker, there's still the idea that there's some upside. Where Jimmy Garoppolo, I feel like, yes, you have learned everything you possibly can know about Jimmy Garoppolo. You have a complete scouting report. Where with Baker, I'm like, well, I mean, maybe there's something he can be better at. Maybe if he actually, puts on blinders and stops paying attention to all the outside noise and gets away from doing a million commercials, which he's good at, then, I don't know, maybe he won't be as much of a lightning rod for people to come after him with.
We will see. Only time will tell. I don't think Baker Mayfield starts on a team this upcoming season unless somebody gets hurt. I think that is not in the cards for him right now. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, details released of a certain Texans player's contract details, plus we're talking about draft. Do 40 times matter? That's next. But first, let me tell you about TGS. Shout out to our producer, Sean. Grab your phone, guys, if you own your home. Grab your phone. You're not going to regret it. You're going to get big savings, and you don't even have to talk to an agent. I know you're paying too much for home insurance, but you probably don't shop for better rates because it's a hassle. But it doesn't have to be, thanks to TGS Insurance. They have a new system that instantly shops over 36 carriers, and you get a full quote in 15 seconds. All you have to do is send a text, and you'll save a bunch of money. So take your phone. Text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system's going to ask for your home address. Send it back, and within 15 seconds, you get that quote. This company is legit. Their online rating is nearly perfect, and their average customer from last year saved over $870. Nobody likes to shop for home insurance, but TGS makes it the easiest it's ever been, and you're only a text away from big savings. So, one more time, money, 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
ESPN 97.5. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Speaking of Paul's former relationships and being caught between.
Yes, I like the Astros, and I like the Mariners.
Yes,
Vanessa.
That is what we were talking about at the break. Not wanting what you have.
I want both teams to have fun.
Yes.
That's what I want. That's all I want and all I care about.
Really looking forward to that Astros home opener tonight as they host the Angels. It's going to be a lot of fun. I expect Minute Maid Park to be rocking.
Yay.
Per Jeff Blum, I expect them to Crawford Bach the bleep.
Whoa. Yes, that's true. Thing. You know, Jeff Blum with his potty mouth, I liked it.
I loved it. A little spice.
I want to know what he meant by that. Like, where are they going to Crawford Bach the bleep out of? Their livers? Their skulls?
Carbach Brewery has said they're making shirts, and I will be buying one. Game over.
Yes, where do
Somehow,
we get
Somehow Jeff Blum becomes even more of a legend after his hot mic moment.
Do I have to go down to the ballpark tonight to go find these shirts?
I don't know. I hope that
I feel like they're all going to be gone.
I hope that they'll tweet them out, but we love you, Jeff. All right, Aaron Wilson tweeting about Brandon Cook's contract extension. We knew this was happening last week, but the details are in. 2 years, $39.764 million, $36 million guaranteed, $16 million signing bonus. So good for Brandon Cooks. I think this is a solid guy. I think this is what Davis Mills needs. I think having a reliable veteran in the midst of some changes among the franchise and just kind of a turbulent time in general, it's getting better, but it's still an upward battle. So you have Lovie Smith as a head coach. You have Pep Hamilton as OC. You have a lot of competency, I think, in that building. And I think Brandon Cooks being there is great for Davis.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who was saying otherwise was just stupid, period. I don't understand why there was such an idea of moving on from Brandon Cooks. Like, oh, well, he doesn't fit with the timeline of the team. Oh, well, he's getting up there in age. If you want to waste your time this season and continue to try to accrue the number one overall pick so that you can maybe get someone like Bryce Young, then don't give Davis Mills anyone to work with, because you already have your answer for Davis Mills if that's how you want to operate. But if you want a young quarterback to take steps forward, give him something to throw to. And Cooks played well last year. I was 100% on the keep Brandon Cooks train as soon as he had that second touchdown on the screen against the Jacksonville Jaguars in the game towards the end of the year. There is a rapport that those two have, and they should continue to explore said rapport.
Explore the rapport.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. Let's see if Davis Mills can actually be plus as a quarterback, and his only chance of doing that is if he has a good offensive line in front of him, which makes me wonder about what the Texans are going to do with the third pick and what they're going to do with the 13th pick. But also, they need to give him weapons, and he did not have enough weapons last year. Not at running back, not really at wide receiver, outside of Brandon Cooks, and at tight end. I mean, okay, was it Brevin Jordan? Like, showed some upside, yeah. But I mean, I don't want to get too crazy and start throwing expectations on Brevin Jordan as being the next Gronk or something like that. They just don't have a lot around him. So good. This was a good move, and that they were able to convince him to come back. Maybe there's something in the water that we're not seeing with the Texans that some players maybe are finally starting to see. It's not as messy as we thought it is.
Right. April 7th is when it was the terms were agreed upon, or it was agreed for the two-year extension. But now, of course, thanks to Aaron Wilson, who's covered the NFL for a long time, we know the details of the contract extensions. And it's not an awful, awful cap hit. So overall, I think it's great. I don't understand the hate for Brandon Cooks. Not that he gets a lot of hate, but I think Texans fans, and I understand why, but it's almost like the franchise can't do anything right ever. And while I've been very critical of them, and you have when need be, there are certain things that they do that make sense, and this made sense. And I think it's okay to say, while the Texans have messed up a lot over the last couple of years, this is a deal that's potentially high risk, low risk, potentially high reward.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wonder if that is a position that they're going to draft as well. This is a supposedly pretty good
Could be.
Class for
it,
wide
it
receivers.
It is a good wide receiver class. For as bad as the quarterback class is, it's a good wide receiver class.
One of those guys, I am getting a kick out of him because he seems to be very confident in his ability. Drake London, who's a USC wide receiver.
Oh.
This story has to do with the 40 time that we teased. So he doesn't want to run a 40 time at the combine or run a 40 time at his pro day. And he's like, have you watched me? I am running by everyone. Quote, watch the film. At the end of the day, I really don't have to blow by guys to catch the ball. I mean, I can, but I don't have to. But he's implying he did. 6'5", 210, Pac-12 player of the year, 88 catches for 1084 and 7 touchdowns. He says that people were seeing him make plays. So, I mean, do I need to run a 40 time? And it can hurt you.
It can hurt you.
I mean, we're talking about Kyle Hamilton now. The safety out of Notre Dame is potentially not a top 10 pick entirely because of the fact that his, I guess, pro day 40 time wasn't as fast as people thought it was.
He's one that could slip because of his 40 time.
Which is so dumb, because you never, ever run like this ever in your life in a game. Like, it's I get that it's used as a way to measure prospects versus prospects at the combine and to see that some of these guys who are playing at smaller schools against lesser competition actually are as fast as some of the guys right. who are playing with the big boys. But the rest of it, you're in this unnatural stance, and then depending on the way that you lean, you can shave like 0.3 seconds off of your 40 time. And I will speak from experience. We used to do this at the other station, a combine, Vanessa. And I remembered Gerard Johnson, who used to play for A&M.
I love Gerard.
Right. He's an assistant coach. Did he go up to the Vikings?
So he was with the Colts for 3 years. He's now with the Vikings.
Right. He went over to the Vikings. So he told me, like, listen, change your stance. And I remember he helped me go from, like, running essentially like a 5-1 to, like, a 4.84. And
I got to see you run.
I'm fast.
Hashtag at Paul Gallant's OnlyFans.
But like, that, yeah, that would be my OnlyFans. It's just me doing, like macho athletic things or just getting the hell beaten out of me in the Oklahoma drill. But, yeah, it's the 40 time is dumb to me. Like, especially having gone through it and realizing how many other things go into it, you're practicing to run in a way that you will never run again in your career.
It's important to note that that's why I will roll my eyes every now and then when a guy opts out of a bowl game. Every now and then, not all the time, or when somebody opts out of doing something at the combine. Kyle Hamilton is the perfect reason why, yes, we don't want that, and we love the narrative of, oh, if you're a competitor, you're going to blah, blah, blah. Kyle Hamilton's the reason why it actually makes sense, mm-hmm. because it is impacting his draft stock. And when you have guys like Lance Zierlein and Daniel Jeremiah, when they build their drafts, their mock drafts, it's not only their opinion. Like, Daniel Jeremiah is talking to scouts, and Daniel Jeremiah is talking to, you know, guys that are general managers.
Yeah.
So it's not just their perception. It actually hurts your draft stock when you run a poor 40.
And I would say those two in particular, because they both do their homework, so they yes. do their own homework, but then they talk to the others that are a part of this. And that's why these mock draft boards that you see put up by all these scouts are so interesting as you get closer and closer to the draft. It's because all of a sudden, you're piecing all the tidbits of information that you have together. And it's interesting that, like, one player who everyone seems to think is really good, all of a sudden, we're looking at him in a totally different lens. And I guess, you know, I was listening to Lance talk about that this morning on the bench, where Kayvon Thibodeau, who is a guy that a lot of people think might go in the top five, apparently his attitude has turned off a lot of teams in the Texans, I guess, are a part of that group of teams that are turned off by it. Yeah.
Commanders hosting Notre Dame safety Kyle Hamilton today as they look at possible first-round selections per Ian Rappaport. Washington picks number 11, and it's a long shot. Hamilton's there, but they're doing work just in case. At this point, is it a long shot? I mean, that he's there at 11 if the Commanders have that pick and if Kyle Hamilton's stock is dipping that much.
Yeah, and I, you know, that was a guy I wanted to see the Texans take for a bit.
I would have loved it.
And I don't think that's on the table anymore. Maybe it is at 13. Maybe he's the guy that ends up slipping the most. I would think Thibodeau is probably going to be the one that slips the most, though, just based off of everything that's being said about him. So it makes sense, though, too, for it to happen.
Then
I mean,
again,
we're talking
Kyle
about a safety.
Hamilton also had the terrible music take the other day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're still mad about this.
I just think that it shows poor judgment. It's like when you date a guy and you look at the other women he's dated and you're like, ooh.
The LeBron-Michael Jordan thing is worse than the, especially with LeBron missing the playoffs this year, is way worse than
but that's an
Drake,
opinion
Michael
that
Jackson.
People, that's at least a debate.
I mean, to you.
No. I'm on team MJ is better than LeBron. I'm
no,
on team,
I meant the Drake-Michael Jackson thing. I know that's what you're mad about.
You think that Drake is even in the same category?
I mean, they're both really successful artists.
What?
You know? It may mean nothing to y'all, but understand nothing was done for me.
The fact that anybody, if you look at the videos.
He went from Degrassi in a wheelchair to being a number one musician.
If you think that Drake is even in the same ballpark as being in the top 50 greatest artists ever, you could talk about Elton John, the Beatles. You could take the country music route and talk about Johnny Cash and Willie Nelson. Or you
could
get into jazz music.
Goat.
Or you could talk about like Stevie Wonder and Bill Withers. Or if you'd like to, I mean, they're in
Drake's
every
like the
genre.
New Beethoven.
Are so many. Anyway, that's why I don't want Kyle Hamilton on any team that I'm covering because I wouldn't ever be able to take him seriously. All right, coming up, the return of a very important fast food item as we go through garbage time, including Paul's open relationship with baseball may start a standard for other open relationships. That's next.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. Listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
There's a really important announcement in the food world, fine cuisine, if you will. Mexican pizza is back at Taco Bell. It's coming back May 19th. They just announced it. I love me some Mexican pizza.
Sounds like appropriation, in my opinion. You know, just appropriating Italian culture. Taco Bell, not cool.
But it's not I guess pizza's Italian, but Mexican pizza's Mexican.
I think it's funny. At any point in 2022, like if you just put in front of anything like an adjective that describes a nationality or an ethnicity, you can say, yep, that's racist.
Or just like problematic.
Yeah. I'm a little concerned with this Mexican pizza. What? It's not as good as Italian pizza in Mexico? They use tomatoes too.
Yeah, if I hear the word problematic one more time.
So what is Mexican pizza? I actually don't know.
Yeah, Mexican pizza is basically like, look, a lot, and with a lot of Mexican food, it's like the same ingredients, similar to Italian. And
racist.
Different. No. Mexican pizza is basically kind of a burrito laid out, and then on top of the tortilla, you have the sauce.
Is it salsa or is it like tomato sauce?
It's taco sauce. And then there's cheese on top of it. There's beans. There's meat.
Oh, there's beans. You had me until the beans.
Yeah, you'll have to get a Mexican pizza. It's yummy. What's your favorite fast food item, Paul?
Does Chick-fil-A count?
Yes!
I don't know.
Chick-fil-A's fast food.
Yeah, but they never screw your order up. So, there's no charm, right? And there's no... I'm spinning the Russian roulette wheel of whether or not they're just going to put everything I said not to put
on
my order.
That's what makes them reliable.
I mean, Chick-fil-A is still the one fast food place I go to the most. So I feel like I have to give an answer that's not Chick-fil-A based off of that. It's hard, though, because... You know what? This is it. Okay, I'm not going to go Chick-fil-A here. I'm going to pander a little bit. Whataburger, honey barbecue, chicken sandwich... on Texas toast. That
Ooh,
is my go-to.
Yum.
But no cheese.
That's my go-to at Whataburger as well. But my favorite is when they change up, they do the barbecue ranch chicken strip sandwich.
Ooh.
Yeah, and so it's like the barbecue, or the buffalo ranch, sorry. The buffalo.
I'm trying it.
Yeah, the buffalo sauce, buffalo ranch sauce it's the same sandwich, and it's available only at certain times, but there's no real rhyme or reason to when it is available. You just pull up and they have it like now available.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, somebody on Twitch said that honey barbecue chicken strip sandwich. Oof. Somebody else said depends on how drunk or sober I am. That does play into it too.
Well, that's the only reason I would ever go to Taco Bell. No offense to Taco Bell.
Yeah.
I've only been to Taco Bell once in my life and that was the occasion.
Wow. All right, meanwhile, T.O., almost 50 years old.
He's 48.
Scoring a touchdown in his first game with fan-controlled football?
The USFL needs to add him immediately. Yeah. This is the thing that they don't have right now. They have no star power. Unless you want to watch Shea Patterson like just drunkenly stumble around and fumble the football and have it returned for the game difference touchdown in the Panthers, Michigan Panthers, Houston Gamblers game that we saw on Saturday. Like that was the most, check that, yesterday. I mean, that was the most memorable moment of that game. They need stars. T.O. is playing in this fake league. It's different with Johnny Manziel because Manziel, I think, has gotten to a point where I don't want to see him get another chance.
And I don't even know that he's trying. Do you think he's actually trying?
Manziel, no.
Working out to the left? Yeah, I don't think he's even worried about it anymore.
Manziel, I think, has also accepted his fate. But T.O. has worked so hard to stay in shape, and I've always felt that he's one of perhaps the best like all-around athletes that we have seen play in one sport. He's always been great in the celebrity... And it's the celebrity basketball tournament. But during the celebrity basketball all-star game, like he's played in that a bunch of times, and he's always looked like the most competent, I actually look like a professional athlete player in those games. I've always wanted to see him like go out, like chase down Justin Bieber and just swat it out of his
he'd be
out of
fun,
the sky and just destroy him.
And he'd be great in the XFL. Can you imagine if they do the XFL again the way that they did it last season, that it was here in Houston, where you can interview somebody right after they make a big play. Can you imagine T.O. in the moment after he's made a big play being interviewed on national television?
I could, and it would be amazing, and it would be something like, I love me some me, or get your popcorn ready, right. Or he would cry about his quarterback. You know, if he's in the USFL, as fake Tony Stark points out on Twitch, like Paxton Lynch also might be throwing. Like, there's some really bad quarterbacks in the USFL. And I think that's the thing that you kind of have to get through, where in college football you can get through, I think, having a bad quarterback because there's the pageantry, the fans are actually there. Where with this, with the games all taking place in Birmingham, you don't have an atmosphere. The only names that you really have are like some of the coaches. Kevin Sumlin's the coach of the Gamblers. You got Jeff Fisher on the sideline for Michigan. So there's some names, but... yeah, it just doesn't draw the same way, you know?
Do you remember P.J. Walker, the Roughnecks quarterback?
Hell yeah. Legend.
He was awesome, and he was backed up with the Panthers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the USFL needs. Some guys like that. I mean, he's not a star, but he was, like, good. He went to the NFL after. I don't know anybody in the USFL that's probably going to go to the NFL.
No.
Meanwhile, a USFL player was cut from his team for ordering pizza instead of a chicken salad. Devavion Smith, who played running back at Michigan and had an impressive stint in the XFL, was cut by the Pittsburgh Maulers in the USFL over a situation involving pizza. According to Smith, he requested a pizza from a hotel worker instead of the chicken salad that was being served to him. Hotel worker told him he couldn't have pizza and asked if that would be a problem. Smith said that he said yes. Maulers head coach Kirby Wilson felt that Smith was disrespecting the hotel worker and immediately cut Smith without hearing Smith's side of the story.
I mean, Smith might have some might want to call Rusty Harden, or maybe like a knockoff version of Rusty Harden. Could call the Texas Lawhawk or something like that. Nothing against the Texas Lawhawk. That seems illegal, but I do not like it when people are disrespectful to
service workers.
Yep. Nope. It really gets me angry when people are disrespectful to them. You know, it's a hard job. You're not getting paid anything. I do think, though, like, say he wanted the pizza instead of the chicken salad. I'm sure that the chicken salad wasn't that good. Chicken salad is generally highly overrated.
No, it's like disgusting. It's like mayonnaise and... celery and chicken mixed together with it's gross. It's objectively gross.
Yeah, I agree. But potato salads are kind of the same way to me.
Potato, it's all mayonnaise which is disgusting.
If you say it's aioli, though, I'll pretend it's not mayonnaise. That's the funny part about mayonnaise.
Once you get aioli? Into aioli or spicy mayo, you're dealing with more spices and other substances. Yeah, okay. I'm very lactose intolerant, so you don't want to be around me if I've had any sort of chicken sandwich or potato salad.
Oh, okay.
That is not the time to be around me.
Fair enough. Totally understand you on that.
Moving along on our garbage time segment, more couples are enjoying open relationships because they're, quote, bored with each other. And if this reminds you of somebody that I work with, Paul Gallant with the Mariners and the Astros kind of feels the same way.
Well, I am bored with baseball, generally. If we're being totally honest, I mean, it's my least favorite sport of the major American sports. I'm not going to lie. You know, I love basketball way, way more. It's a shame the Rockets don't matter at all, and also that people don't really want to talk about the Rockets that much these days. They want to talk about the Astros, so I do what I'm supposed to. But yeah, follow the Mariners. Had fun with them last 2 years. Before that, had a lot of fun with the Astros. Open relationship. No commitments.
You can go to the Mariners ballpark if you visit Seattle wearing Mariners clothes, and it's fine.
If they're not playing the Astros.
Yes, and the other side knows about it. And you can go to an Astros game in... an Astros jersey when they're not playing the Mariners.
The Astros thing, I have no qualms about it. The going to a Mariners Astros game in Seattle, not knowing whether I should go wearing neutral to be polite or if I should just be a complete troll and wear an Astros shirt, bring in a trash can.
Well, somebody on the boots. Twitch line is enjoying the visual of you in the cowboy boots and the cut-off Daisy Dukes.
This is one of the people that wants me on OnlyFans. This is uncomfortable.
Paul Gallant on OnlyFans. What a concept.
It's a concept that I wish I had never heard about before. So have you ever seen a ownership group blame fans for struggles? Because you're watching the Europa League, which is essentially like the poor version of the Champions League, which is funny to say because it's still like a really good soccer teams playing each other. No teams from, I don't even know what the Major League Soccer in this, but Barcelona used to be a big deal. Barcelona, my bad. They used to be a big deal. And now they're playing against like a second-rate German club compared to the ones that you typically see like Bayern Munich and stuff. So they're playing Frankfurt. And apparently there were 30,000 German fans there as opposed to the 5,000 that were allotted at Nou Camp, which is where Barca plays. And the ownership group is pissed. Barca boss, Xavi. He only goes by one name. Okay.
What are you, Cher?
This affected us. It's very clear. We tried to focus on the game and we've not been good. It has nothing to do with one thing and the other. It's not an excuse. It hasn't helped us. But on the pitch, we haven't been good and we haven't competed. Barcelona president Joan Laporta said he was embarrassed and ashamed with the crowd fiasco.
Oh, God.
They're like acting like having too many fans from the opposing team go to a game that, of course, Barca fans aren't going to go to. They're always in the Champions League, the Europa League. They don't
so
give a damn.
Lame. That's why people don't like soccer.
I just like that this guy's Barca boss, Xavi.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing if the players go by one name. That makes sense.
What are you, Madonna?
Let's look. I might have to look up Xavi.
That's incredible. Absolutely insane.
Xavi, Spanish football manager. Oh, former player. That explains it. So he used to be a player. Xavi.
Still not a player?
Not a player anymore, though.
Not a player anymore, but he still crushes a lot.
He looks like he's the worst.
Meanwhile, Debo Samuel getting death threats online for removing all 49ers references from social media.
Yeah, look.
Dumb. Guys, don't do this.
Don't
be
do
weird.
That.
Don't be weird.
But, and I'm not trying to equate the two, but don't do the deleting all your... to all the things that you have, like references to the team that you play for.
Didn't work out for Kyler Murray. He's still very much going to be a Cardinal.
Yeah, exactly. It's a lame look.
We are wrapping up a Monday. Huge, huge thank you to Robert Flores, Houston native, UH grad, MLB Network host, for joining us. We appreciate that. And we'll definitely have more tomorrow. But coming up next, Joel Blank, Jeremy Branham, gotcha with the Killer Bees from 12 to 3.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.